It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Well, it's super cool that you would join me. I have so many just interesting things have been happening. Just recently, a musician just passed away, and one that I had the pleasure to meet, you know, in the 80s when I was at K-Tide in Santa Barbara, and just a really charming, amazing man. His name was Ranking Roger, or that was what he went by. But Roger was with Dave Wakeling. They were first in the English Beat and then segued over to the general public. And just an amazing, charming young guy. And unfortunately, or whatever, I don't know, you know, cancer took over, and at the tender age of 56, he, you know, left for the next room. So I've been playing his music today, and I've been thinking about him. And as I'm sitting here going, wow, 56, ow. You know, when you start to age, I mean, I know Anthony, who's the producer in the studio, he's a young man, a lot younger than I am. As you start to age a little bit and you cross that threshold of 40 and then you cross the threshold of 50, you realize, like, wow, we're just kind of here for a minute or two. So, you know, best to get busy living. Anyway, Godspeed to Roger. And I'm sure whatever's in the next room, that band just got better. That guy could dance and sing. And he was just a really charming, fabulous individual. So, the last time I was on the show, I was talking about the amazing Jan Warner. And Jan's the gal that started the Grief Speaks Out on Facebook. And what a great page. I mean, she started this page basically to help her in her grief and her grieving over losing her husband. And so she starts this page. It explodes. Everybody's into it. She's got a couple million people on this Facebook page. And then, of course, she has this beautiful book called Grief Day by Day. So when I was interviewing her, I said, hey, Jan, you know, would you like to, you know, could you maybe send me a couple autographed copies? I'll give them away. So sure enough, she sends me 5 autographed copies of the book, which is incredibly generous and so sweet. And I offered to pay for them, but she's like, no, I got you. So great. So I posted the picture on the Facebook page of the cover of the book when they arrived. And I said, hey, I didn't know, you know, I've only got a couple hundred people on the page. I'm like, hey, if anybody wants it, let me know. Well, the response was great. Like, I was really, it made me feel good. So many people were like, me, please. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, soon enough, there were more people that wanted the book than I had copies. So lo and behold, Jan goes on the page, because I had tagged her, and she sees the response, and she said, oh, Jane, would you like more books? She emails me, and I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, you know, I just think it's wonderful, and I feel like you're my little grief angel out there, and I'm happy to send you more books. And I'm like, who is this lady? She's just too cool. So I offered again. I said, hey, Jan, I'll pay for them. You know, that's really generous. She goes, no need. So great. So I'm happy to tell you that everyone that chimed in that asked for Grief's Day by Day is going to get a copy. So it's going to take me going to the post office. I'm going to write you a little note and I'm going to send them out. I would say probably by the end of this week. So congratulations to Kim Del Secco, Kathleen Blattner. Kathleen, I know her by Jonesy. I used to go to high school with her. I just love her to pieces. Kathy Champion Williams, which was my basketball coach at Deckerville High School. And she goes by Champ. I love that woman. So Champ, you're getting a copy. Lou Ann Mayer, you're getting a copy. Ann Murphy, who I had on the show just a couple weeks ago. She's a life celebrant. Beautiful lady out of Minnesota and does great work with death and dying and really helping people to cross over in a very peaceful way. You're getting a copy. The fabulous Cheryl Williamson-Lenke. I love her. I played softball with her. I mean, it's so cool that these people from my past, from when I was just a kid, are resonating with the work that I'm doing. So Cheryl, you're getting a copy. Maxanne is getting a copy, which I lovingly refer to her as Max. I grew up with Maxanne. or Maxine, I should say, and Vicky Bright. You're getting a copy too. And I want to say, who else did I miss? Oh, this is super cool. So Laura Pritchett, who I interviewed, Laura's an author, and she's the one that wrote Making Friends with Death. And it's funny. It's like this really, really funny book. Well, Laura had sent me a couple books to give away quite a while ago, and I never got around to it. So here I am after I send out these 10 books to everyone. Oh, Sarah Seidelman, you too. You get one as well. I'll send out these 10 books that are autographed, and then I'm going to go ahead and I'll make a post with Making Friends with Death. And I only have two copies that are autographed, but it's cool. This is more of a field guide. It's a field guide for your impending last breath, and it's funny. So if you have a little bit of a dark, humorous approach to death, which I do, not everybody does. Some people are a little bit more buttoned down about it, then this probably isn't for you. But if you get a good laugh over things and it's a workbook, it's really cool. It gives you homework. It talks about writing love letters. I mean, it's really super practical, but it's funny. So two copies of this. Good luck. I'm going to have to take the first two that chime in because, like I said, I only have two. And I'm not going to ask Laura for more books. She's a hardworking author and she needs to pay bills. So we need to buy her books. All right. Okay. So that's all my clerical business out of the way. And may I say that I'm so grateful to all of these authors that are willing to pass along these books for my cool audience on The Next Room. It makes me really, I'm just filled with such joy and such gratitude because I love to read for one thing. So it's a little bit of a selfishness on my side because I'm like far out. I've got books being delivered here on a regular basis and it's legit. I'm happy to buy them. But if you want to send me your book and it has anything to do with death, dying, grieving, crossing over, near-death experiences, afterlife transition, funerals, you name it, send it to me. I'm a big fan. But I, like I said, I will purchase them. Okay, so that's that. I have recently had the opportunity to connect with Pamela Oseley, so I've talked to Pam twice now. One of the shows has already aired, and then probably by the time this one airs, they both have aired. So what do I know? Anyway, Pam's incredible. Pam is really helping me to connect with my family. And she started by connecting with my dad, and then I had this wild idea that I would write a book after my mother passed. I'm like, I'm going to write a book with my mother's help. And, you know, Anthony, I know it probably sounds weird to you. It's like, what? You're going to write a book with your dead mother? But yes, I am. It's something I've been thinking about for about 8 years. And I've been writing and writing and writing ever since I was a kid. I have journals stocked full of stuff. And with the help of Pam, because she can connect with my mother, I'm getting some really, really great messages from beyond. And it may sound a little crazy and a little woo-woo, but I got to tell you, it's pretty darn normal to me because it makes sense. It makes sense to me because it's my life and it's what I'm going through. And every time I speak with Pam, she gives me some pretty great material. So I just had a session with her this morning, and Anthony, are you there? Can you chime in?
Yeah.
Here's what my mom said to me this morning. I said to Pam, well, does mom have a message for me? Does she want to share anything? Or is there something I'm missing? Am I not picking up what she's putting down? Mm-hmm. And Pam basically said, you need to get out of your own way and you need to expand with no fear. And I was like, dang. Wow. That's good because you don't know me that well, but I really get caught up in my head and I'm always, you know, wondering, oh, should I do this? Or what if somebody thinks this is weird? Or, you know, I've had all of this, a lot of trepidation over writing this book, even though I think it's beautiful and it's a true story because it's my story. It's not fabricated. It's all this life experience that I had with my mom leaving.
Right.
And there you have it. So, I know it's weird, right? Is it weird? Do you think it's weird?
I don't think it's weird at all. I think, you have an urge, a desire, an inspiration to pursue something. And, you know, if it's beyond your comfort zone, then, maybe you should expand your comfort zone a little bit. I mean, when it comes to things like this, it's all taboo. And really, I feel like it shouldn't be, because it's such a beautiful thing. All it is love. It's really all it is.
That's nice. I'm going to have to quote you on that. That's cool. And interesting that you should bring that up, because I got kind of deep with her. Like, I don't feed Pam questions, because here's the deal. Pam is very tuned in, as you know. She spoke to you a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to feed her anything. I don't want to give her, you know, set questions like, oh, hey, here's the question I have for my mom, so that if there's any doubt that this woman is, you know, I mean, she is the real deal. But I want it to be spur of the moment, right there, me asking the question live and in color, and her just spouting it off. And I'll tell you what. It was extraordinary. Like, there was no hesitation. You know, I was listening mm-hmm. back, because I have to translate it for the book, and I was shocked. I'm like, oh my gosh. So what you just said about it being all love, very, very much one of the key messages that my mother was trying to get across when I said, okay, Mom, through Pam, describe God. You know, mm-hmm. what is God? And she just got excited, and it was so fun to hear this very, very descriptive conversation coming flying through Pam. But it's my mom really excited, and she said, everywhere and expansive and love. Unconditional love, so big and so bright and so generous and so non-judgmental that it's really difficult for us to even conceptualize. And certainly, you know, she joked, like, have fun putting words to that, because it's so big. It's like, because we, you know, we're so linear the way that, you know, we measure day, you know, 7 days a week and 24 hours in a day and 60 seconds in a minute. And so everything is this time thing. But when we break out of that, it's this huge, big, gooey love fest, you know, mm-hmm. It was just so much fun. It was so much fun. So let me ask you. So here you are, Anthony, you're in Detroit. I'm in San Diego. We've never met. You've been my producer for a few months, and I know a little bit about you just from asking questions and stuff. Where did you come up with your core belief about what is next? What is in the next room? And if you don't mind me asking, what is it to you?
For me, the next room, air quotations, what happens after this, I've never really had a temporary ideology about it. I've always shied away from most religions. I've looked into lots of different things. When I was 15 years old, my father passed away of lymphatic leukemia. During that time, I had a suicide attempt. Up until he passed away, I had run away from home. I was homeless in California for a while. At that time, I was living in Utah with my father. I ran away, came back, and then came back to Michigan to visit with my mother, and got the phone call on the 4th of July. Boy, your dad's dead, my uncle said. I've had experiences with supernatural things. I have a ghost, but, as far as
what do you mean? What do you mean you have a ghost? I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay. Well,
are you willing to talk about it?
Yeah, I suppose I will. Ever since I was small, there's been something that follows me. And I don't know what it is or who it is, but it's always a constant presence that I can just kind of sense off in the corner. Okay. It always with me, whether it's helpful or not helpful is kind of regardless, but it's always been there. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of playful, if you will. But I mean, it's there, and it's, okay. So I feel like there is something after this. I feel like we are energy, and when you die, that energy has to go somewhere. It doesn't just cease to exist.
Right.
So, I mean, whether it's still here on this plane or whether it expands into a different plane and is able to touch multiple realities at the same time, or it's all circumstantial. We don't know. We won't know until we're there.
Yeah.
But I'm open to any possibility. And I just love discussing this stuff.
I love it. This is perfect. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And may I say that perhaps, you know, ghost is, I don't know, it's kind of an antiquated term. I think I'm listening to you and I'm feeling that this is more of a guardian angel, playful vibe, you know, that you have, that's just with you. And I think we all have a bunch of them. Now you could maybe be more tuned in. And, you know, you may not realize it, but you have that connection where you not only sense, but feel and know that that entity is there, where a lot of us wouldn't know that, but we would maybe, you know, say, hey, you know, hey, guardian angels, you know, watch over me as I drive on the freeway in San Diego because people are crazy when it rains, you know, that kind of thing. But is it a sense? Or do you see or feel, or how do you know about this?
Well, I know it's there. It'll be like the sensation of being watched when no one's around, but it's got a familiar feeling. Like I've always been interested with that idea. Like, how do you know you're being watched if you have no sensory perception that someone is looking at you? That's that idea that we're all inherently psychic in some way. Mm-hmm. Is so unfathomable to me because it means that no matter what, all of us have some sort of connection to each other. With this thing that follows me around, I'll talk to it. Just the other day, I was driving in my car alone on my way home, and I said out loud, out of nowhere, I know you're there. I don't know why you feel like following me around, but you can stick with me as long as you want. If you need anything or you want something, let it be known. And if it's something I can help you with, I will. And there, of course, was no response, but it is what it is. But since then, its presence is more like I it's almost an instantaneous, I know you're there. Like, and sometimes, you know, it's like it comes up to me and I can feel it just kind of, like its face is over my shoulder, you know, like kind of picking with me. But I don't know. It's just a fun little, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
No, I think, you know, I like the words you've used, fun, and you have used playful. And it is an entity of sorts. And, you know, and you're right. You know, here we are, we're these energy fields, and you can't, you know, science has proven you cannot possibly kill energy. So when we shed this meat suit, our energy has to go somewhere. So whether it goes to the next room, whether it hangs out tight and surrounds or stays put here, I'm not sure, because we don't know what we don't know. Have you ever considered naming this spirit energy of, you know, or, you know, because it seems like you're friendly with it. So,
I mean, I have thought a little bit on that. My thought process is, I don't want to name you. If you want to have a name, tell me your name.
Oh, I like that. That's huge. Challenging the entity.
Like, I know you're there. You have followed me since I can remember. One thought that I have had in the past that I can't prove or disprove was when I was 2 years old, I had a 2 month old brother who had a crib death. And I've thought that like maybe it's him, but I don't know for sure. And right. I wouldn't want to, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I wouldn't want to tarnish what I have right. with
misrepresentation.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, as to what its purpose is, why it's attached itself to me, I don't know. It's yet to be seen.
Right. And you know what? Quite frankly, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I mean, I think sometimes, you know, we get so caught up with naming things and trying to decide what it is instead of just being in that being state, that is state, that it's okay. Don't get attached to expectation or outcome, but just kind of allow.
Right.
And because you've decided it's friendly and playful, that's great. And I think that it's really good that you're addressing this spirit entity and that it's okay. And you're right. If it wants to be known, it'll come to you.
Right.
It'll either come to you somehow, some way. You will get the message, the sign, if you are tuned in and you're paying attention and or not, it'll come to you.
Right. I mean,
wow.
Sometimes I'm not like I have a fast food job, and sometimes it'll make its presence known to me while I'm making orders. I just say not right now. But
you literally do that. Do you say that out loud, or do you say it in your head?
I say it like under my breath, not right now.
Gotcha. Wow. That's wild. Now, do you share this with other people that are close?
There have been instances like where...
Because you're on the radio now, bud.
Yeah, I know. I was at my fast food job, closing. It was a late night. One other person there, and they came to me and they said, "There's somebody in the dining room." And I said, "No, there isn't." And I explained to them, "I have a ghost, and they're sitting out there."
Wow.
Because they saw something out the corner of their eye. They're just slightly attuned a little bit, and they caught a presence, and they're like, "There's somebody in the dining room." And I was like, "I promise you there's not."
Wow. Wow. That's so cool. That's so cool. I mean, I love stories about this kind of stuff. When I was a kid, it was all about, you know, ghost stories, and I loved it. I loved it very much. And in my nephew, Chuck, when he was just a little, like, he was probably, let's see, Michael must have been born. So Chuck must have been like 3 or 4. And my grandfather, Chuck was the firstborn grandchild that my grandfather had. So he would have been, Chuck was the only great grandchild, right? So he's firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather passed. And Chuck was just a little boy, and he would come downstairs because my grandpa used to live with Lynn and Cal and Chuck and Mike. Well, Mike wasn't born yet, but Chuck would come downstairs and he'd say, "Mom, there's somebody at the end of my bed." And my sister was like, "What are you talking about?" And he would say, "Yeah, it's this." And he described my grandfather to a T, you know, short, really hefty, bald, you know, glasses, just exactly like my grandfather looked. And Lynn just told Chuck, he was just a kid, he was just a baby, and just said, "Well, tell him you're okay and that he can go away now." Because he was coming to my nephew at the edge of his bed on a pretty regular basis. And he was so young, it didn't bother him. He was just like, "Hey, this old dude is visiting me." I love that story. And my nephew is like, a real not a believer in any of this. He probably is in the quiet of his own home, but he loves to call fooey on me. You know, his Aunt Jane is, you know, farting rainbows and doing the unicorn shuffle out here in California. He's just not buying it. So maybe someday. But this is great. Thank you so much for being willing to open your heart and to share your story and to come on the show like this. I think we're going to have to do this on a pretty regular basis. When I don't have an author or somebody set to come on the show, we'll just do this. We'll just talk.
Absolutely.
And, you know, look for fun articles or anything that you can find that or anything that you're willing to discuss, because it's such a grand, big, awesome topic. Because in my estimation, death is just another part of life. It's so cool. It's just such a, not that I want to go there yet, because I'm still really, I'm vibing on this side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be very clear about that, because I certainly don't want to go, ah, son of a gun, I've been talking about death and there I go. And I know that, you know, I talked to Laura about that. It's not going to happen like that. So, I mean, it's going to happen the way it happens. So thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Anthony is my producer and a fabulous guest on The Next Room. Don't forget, if you want a copy of Making Friends with Death, go to The Next Room with Jane on Facebook. I also have a Twitter account. I haven't built a Facebook page yet. I'm kind of lagging there, but I got to get busy with that, because once my book is published, you know, I'm hoping that you'll really enjoy the story. It's all love, and it's really it's an interesting twist on my truth anyway, and what's out there and what's possible about connecting with those that have gone before us. So thanks again for tuning in to The Next Room. Thank you, Anthony, for being a great guest tonight.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.